Because he's just like me and anybody else. He cannot preach unless the Holy Ghost preach him. He can give you knowledge, but he can't preach without that anointing. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a good question to ask yourself. Is he your everything? Or is he your all? That's a good question just to ponder for a minute. And to think about. I thank God for the opportunity every time to be able to be up here. I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank God that through Christ Jesus, he had committed me faithful to be a partaker of this mystery and to be able to share the gospel and the good news with you all. It's a pleasure and it's an honor. I always want to give God thanks for that. The scripture does say that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So when we sing those songs, when we think about our relationship with God, we think about the lives that we lead. Is that a truth to us? The first and great commandment. I mean, he's only given two. Are we keeping the first one? Let alone keeping the second one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a good question. Priorities, our lifestyles, the things that we partake in, they'll usually tell us if we're listening. If we just step outside of ourselves, sometimes we have to get outside of ourselves. Sometimes we just have to step back and take a look at our lives and examine our lives and see whether or not what it is that we're doing, what it is we're partaking in, what it is that is leading us and guiding us. Our desires, our motives. I want to read something today. I want to read Psalms 37. The whole psalm. 40 scriptures. Unfortunately, for some folks, it might be more Bible than they'll get in a whole month. I hope that's not the case for anybody in here. But it may very well be. After I'm done reading 37, I'm only going to focus from one scripture and then move to where the Lord would have. But I want to read the whole psalm, because I believe the whole psalm will be an encouragement to everybody in this room. We need to hear the word. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need to receive. We need to hear. We need to spend time. I mean, we have church for, what time is it? It's 11:45 right now. We have church until 1:30. We hear the word of God. We hear a minister preach. Some people leave. And they don't use their Bibles. They don't open their Bibles. The people don't make it to Bible study in the morning for whatever reasons, motivate them or don't motivate them. And this is what is supposed to be of utmost importance to us, the Word of God. I commend you unto the Word of grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst the saints. The Word of His grace, His Word. His Word. Read Psalms 37, starting in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Hallelujah. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of the upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous shall mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. You just got to love the Word of God. You know, when you actually just sit down and read the Word of God, it's so good to the soul. It's so good, so nourishing, so filling. And I ask myself, why don't people hunger for the Word? Why don't we have a desire to be, as one man calls it, God chasers? I like to call the people that come here from other churches during the revival God chasers, because they're going after places where, you know, places that the Holy Ghost is moving. They want to be there too. It's not that they don't want to be in their church. They just want to be where the Holy Ghost is moving. They want to be where the Word of God is being spoken. They're inspired in that place. They like the place. They hunger for that place. And my prayer today is to encourage and be encouraged myself to continue to strive for that place where God is. See, the good thing about our God is constantly moving. God is constantly moving. He's constantly doing something. He's not just sitting still, doing nothing. He's constantly doing something. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a problem believing that God ever sat still, because on the Sabbath day, they restricted themselves to nothing. And then Jesus Christ came along and was doing these great and mighty works in the midst of them on the Sabbath day, and they wanted to crucify him. They wanted to slay him. But Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work also." God's always doing something. He's always doing something. And we want to be moving with God. We don't want to be sitting in one place. We don't want to be standing still. We want to move with God. See, we all have seasons in our lives that are taking us one place or another. We all have things going on inside of our lives where sometimes we're sitting still because we have to patiently wait, because that's what the Lord's doing in our life. He's building inside of us a patience and a trust. But some of us should be on our feet, high-stepping, moving forward, moving fast, because the Lord would have us to move forward, and the enemy would have us to move backwards. The enemy will do anything that he can to stop us, to bring us to a halt, that we move no further in our walk. He'll deceive us in any way, shape, form, or fashion, anything that he can do. His ministers appear as angels of light. Satan's ministers appear as angels of light. They look good. They dress up in suits. Look it. But I'm not one of them. And we have to be able to discern who they are. But how can we discern who they are? The Word of God. By their fruit you shall know. False prophets, false teachers, people who have impure motives, who are seeking not the salvation of your soul or progression of your faith, but rather to make gain of you some way, shape, form, or fashion, by finance, or to increase their possession, or whatsoever it may be, so they can increase their following, whatsoever it may be. How will we know? The Scripture teaches, we have established in our Bible study, the Scripture in the book of Timothy, to allow that to be leading our God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, which tells me that you can be ashamed before God about what you do and don't know of the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Anybody in here want to take a guess at how long it takes to consume God's word? Eternity. Eternity. It takes forever. That's why it's a constant progression of us in exercising faith in the reading of his word. Because it's constantly, there's so much in his word, but there's a word that's a present, it's a right now, it's a current, it's a I need. There's something that's right now for each and every person in this room that we'll get out of this word. In the book of Psalm 37, verse 5, he said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Interesting translation of the word commit is, if you just look it up, to roll. When you commit, you're rolling. You're rolling forward. You're committing, you're going, you're pressing toward it. But a lot of us got bearings that have a lot of flat spots on them. Because we roll, stop, roll, stop. We don't have, there's no smooth roll and progression in our walk with the Lord. You know, I like to think that if some of us treated our relationship with God like we treat our relationship with work, our relationship with God would prosper a lot more. Because some of us, rightfully so, put a lot of effort into work. Why? Because it's the bread and butter. Pays the bills. You see it as being that which supplies your need. But we all know in Christ Jesus that that's not the case. Christ supplies our need. Anybody who knows, see, the Bible tells us that it is God who giveth us power to get wealth. So it is God's mercy and God's gift unto us by which we have the skills and the abilities by which we have. Whether whatsoever it might be. And so in our jobs, what do? We dedicate 110%. Why? Because maybe you'll get a promotion. Maybe you'll get a raise. And if you don't, maybe you'll get fired and replaced. And then you won't have nothing. Right? Let's contrast that with our relationship with God. How important? What's important? How important is God to me? I encourage my brothers and sisters that, you know, on today, Sundays when we get together, I encourage us that we come together. That's a good thing. So that we can fellowship in the Word, so that we can hear the Word of God, so that we can read the Word for ourselves, so that we can have this time. Because why? Because we need this time of reflection. It's not burdensome to me nor grievous to me to put you in remembrance of what the Word of God says. It shouldn't be burdensome to you nor grievous to you for you to be reminded of what the Word says. Some of us aren't motivated to come to Bible study. Maybe we feel like we don't get anything from it. Then how about we contribute to it? How about that? How about we study enough to where we can contribute to it then and make it even more meaty or whatsoever might be lacking that we feel is lacking? How about we study enough to where when we come to Bible study, it's not so much that we have need of being fed, but we have need of contributing to the feeding of the people that we could participate. What happens if I put the same effort that I put into my relationship with God into my relationship with my spouse? I mean, that's a personal question. I can't answer that for you. But I know that if I quit talking to my wife, something's going to happen. She's going to start questioning me. My dinner might start getting cold when I get home. You know, there's going to be inside of her, there's going to be, you know, all kinds of things going on. The devil's going to start talking to her about what's wrong and, you know, and making all kinds of assumptions that, oh, he just doesn't love you no more. And then there's going to be, and the devil's going to create a snare to cause us to stumble. The scriptures even taught that if we were going to separate ourselves for a period of fasting, that we would communicate with one another, to let one another know that we'd be in agreement. Because the scripture even teaches that when we're not in agreement, husband and wives, that our prayers are hindered. The book of Peter. That we should dwell together in peace and in unity. That our prayers be not hindered.
do we know this?
Our prayers are being hindered. How do we know that it can be the result of our relationship failure? Because me and my wife aren't on the same page, the Word of God. How do I know if I'm not reading or if I don't hear the Word of God? What is my encouragement? That we spend the time and take the time and commit to God to read and hear the Word of God. I think about circumstances, obviously. What examples do we have? We look at examples. Sometimes we look at the physical examples. We look at the natural. So I immediately judge pastor's walk in order to determine how I'm going to walk. Wrong answer. Because though pastor might be doing his best to walk upright before the Lord, the example is in the Word. You don't even know if pastor's walking upright if you don't verify his walk by the Word. Then what does that say for us? These are the kind of the questions that I want to pose, that I want us to have to think about. I believe the Spirit of the Lord will speak to me, and I believe, I know I speak to many of you on personal levels, and so sometimes our conversations will come out here on the pulpit, never intended to be personal. The messages that God always gives me are always general. If the shoe fits, I encourage you to put it on, walk with it. I encourage you to move forward in it. I don't encourage you to allow the enemy to speak to you and say, oh, well, he knows what I'm going through. That's why he said that. It ain't got nothing to do with that. I would never do that. That would be abusive of this pulpit. God forbid that I should ever do that. But what I should do is speak what God would have me to speak and encourage my brothers and sisters in the Lord. See, we have a fellowship and we have a unity. We call this church right here, this church, by prayer, was named Victory Gospel Church. And that's exactly what we expect in this church. Victory. Victory, not in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus, because those who are in the church are committed to Him. Has nothing to do with how good we are. But we know, we should know that. We should know that the goodness and the victory that will come through this church will come through the unity of the body, joining in the same purpose, and that's seeking out the one who heads it. Our Lord. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's Lord over us all. We should be in unity and wanting to see the ministry here at Victory Church, Victory Gospel Church, progress. We should want to see it because we believe in it. In order to do so, though, we have to participate in it. And we have to be a usable factor for some have been in the Lord a long time. You know, as the term Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again Christian for a long time. But find it very difficult to move in and out of the Word of God. Sometimes not too sure where the books of the Bible are, if you're studying in a certain book. That's not a good thing. That's not good. I'm being honest with you, that's not good. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody or make anybody feel bad about where they are in Christ, but I am saying that if we love the Lord God with all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, then what shows it? What part of our commitment? What shows us rolling forward in that commitment? And I know, you know, what we do outside of church is excellent. I expect you all to live the life. God expects you all to live the life outside of church. There was a reason why He created the Sabbath for man. And that was so that they would rest from their worldly ways and focus. Focus on the things of God. Focus on His Word. So that we would not be led astray. So that we cannot be so easily deceived. So that when the enemy comes in, we would recognize him. But we can't recognize him anymore, because life is so fast paced and we got so many things going on. I believe if we committed our relationship to God like some of us do to our kids, we would be on fire for the Lord. As much as effort as we put into our children, if we put it into our time with God, our fellowship with God, good God Almighty, we see the power of God all over some folks. As much time and effort as we put into a lot of these worldly situations, a lot of these worldly circumstances, how much of an explosion of the power of God in individuals' lives would there be? How much of a change would there be? How much more would you be able to contribute if you put the amount of effort that you put into some of these external or natural, heaven and earth's going to pass away. Let's say that you were putting all your effort in your job so that one day your kids would be okay, so that you knew that your family was secure. So you put all your time and effort into it. 80 hours a week. You're doing the best you can. And your children, they got the iPad, and they got, you know, the car when they're 16, and they got everything they needed as they were growing up. But you didn't have enough time for church, so you didn't have enough time to read the Word, so you didn't have enough time to give them Jesus. But you called yourself a Christian the whole time. And you kept telling them, you got to do right, you got to do right, you got to do right. What did they get from you at the end of the day? Hypocrisy. And they don't care nothing about church. And they don't care nothing about doing right, because they saw what it took to get that money. A lot of effort and hard work, that's what it took. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to follow in your shoes. They're going to follow in your steps. Those words don't mean anything. They see what produces. What are we showing? What produces? How are we showing it? Are we reflecting it? Are we being the people that we should be in Christ so that other people can see Christ? Because at the end of the day, that soul, those souls, these souls are on the line. That's what we want to do. We want to reflect. We want the impact that we have. This is my own personal convictions. God deals with me. My own personal convictions. These words that I present to you, God deals with me first. If not, it's irrelevant for me to come up here and speak to you about it. I have to find in myself. I commit to this church not because I love pastor. I just love this church. I can church out of obedience of faith at the same. I do love my pastor. And I thank God for my pastor. As stubborn as he is sometimes. But did you ever notice, what is he so stubborn for? The Lord. If that's his wrong, then praise God for that. Stubborn for the Lord. He's here when the doors are open. Why is he here for the doors open? Because he's committed unto his Father. Because he's committed to the Lord, to the ministry that God has entrusted him with. God wants to entrust a lot of us with ministry. He wants to entrust a lot of us with doing his will and working. But we have to first commit unto the discipleship. We have to first commit unto the study of his word and become these children that he has molded and he has shaped and the world has not. Though things have become new, all things are of God. We have been washed. We have been sanctified. We have been renewed in the spirit of our minds. And we're pressing forward unto the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. It's a revolving. It's constantly moving. It's committed. It's rolling forward. I think about people. I think about, and of course, when I go back to the examples, when we look at one another, and by that example that I just gave you of parents, we have a lot of people who are raised in other denominational churches that are more religious or something, and we see their children, and we get to talk to them, and we see them hardened, and they don't care about church, and it's because of the way the church acted. But they never got into the Word of God to see if the way the church was acting, the way was God was intending for them to act. So they don't know the truth from the lie. They don't understand. Nor will they until they're delivered the truth. But who can give them the truth? Only those who hold the truth. How important is it for us to be instant in season and out of season whenever God would call? The servant of the Lord must not strive but be apt to teach. The servant of the Lord. He didn't say the deacon. He didn't say the bishop. He said the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. So that we are able, that if we come across an individual who has need and you can hear it, then we can guide them in the right direction. We might not be able to give them everything, but we strive. Inside of me, I have a conviction that says that if I can't give it to him, I need to get it so that I can give it to him when it's necessary. I have that conviction inside of me. I feel inadequate if somebody comes to me and I can't provide to them the answer through the Word of God. I feel inadequate. It makes me go back into the Word of God. I know my inadequacies anyway. I understand that. But it rather than makes me depressed or feel bad at myself, it motivates me into the things of the Lord. I remember hearing words. I remember hearing ministers talking when I was incarcerated. I remember hearing people, spitting the word of God, just flowing out of their mouth. And I said, man, I want to have the word of God in me like that. Well, it doesn't come by osmosis. You can't lay your Bible under your pillow and sleep on it and think that the word of God is just going to present itself.
You have to labor in this, just like you would your job, just like you would your relationship with wife or your children, or just like anything else in this world. You have to labor in it. You want to become good at your job, you put time and effort into it. You study the ins and outs, you figure out what you got to do, you get good at it, you get skilled at it, you become better and better as you go through practice and effort. You mature. It's the same thing in Christ. And it's okay. It's okay to see a baby on the floor crawling, drooling. But if you're 20, 30 years, 40 years in the Lord, it's not good to see you on the floor crawling and drooling. And not able to obtain or receive the meat of the word, still longing for the milk. Which we should desire the sincere milk of the word, the scripture says. I think about examples. I was thinking about as we're talking about following, as we're talking about this commitment, I think about people in the scriptures. I think about in the book of Mark. And this is interesting because we look at this and we see the processes, but the process is actually a little bit different than it presents itself. And that's why you got to read line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why you can't just read one gospel. You got to read all four gospels, because it might be shown one way in one gospel, but then it might be explained another way in another gospel. And then you see the more full detail and you get the full picture, and then you can give it to somebody else in its full context. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, though, verse 16, it says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come to me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him." This call from the caused them to come out from what they were used to doing, from these things, from their jobs or whatsoever it was. They put these things down and they went after him. I like a better example in the book of 1 Kings. Our brothers Elijah and Elisha. I think it's 19. In 1 Kings chapter 19, praise the Lord. Remember, this is a word of encouragement. This is supposed to be an encouragement to you. You know, I don't want you to feel. I don't want the enemy to get an inch of space or room in this room to make anybody feel condemned about their situation or where they are in the Lord. This should be an encouragement. This should be a. When I hear the words of God, the Bible says that they're, hold on. The word of God is profitable for, let me turn to it so I get it properly. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When it hits home, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. When it touches deep down in the heart, it hurts, you know, even your pride a little bit. That's a good thing. But we have to listen to it. We can't just, you know, let it hit us and then let it roll off, as Pastor would say, onto the guy behind you. We have to bear our own burden in Christ. We have to know our responsibility. Because all we're doing at the end of the day is we're answering a question. Do I love the Lord thy God? Is he my all? Is he my everything? I'll say this, in relation to some of the things that we do. We have Bible study at 9:45 Sunday morning. That's a blessing. Sunday school's a blessing, not just because I teach it. But Sunday school's a blessing. Why? Because it's a time to get into the Word. It's a time to fellowship. It's a time to be refreshed, be reminded. It's more opportunity. It's not just church. Of course, even especially when you're sitting around the table and you have the ability. See, right now you don't have the ability to just take the mic from me. And there you can take the mic from me. You can contribute. We can fellowship. You could ask questions. We can grow together in the Lord. That's God's intention. But a lot of people don't make a Bible study for whatever reason. Why? Is there no desire? Is there no hunger? You don't want to be there? If you don't want to be there, why don't you want to be there? Is it because Chris is teaching? Or is it because today Pastor's teaching? Or is it because it's too early? Listen, I hate that excuse, it's too early. Because most of us get up at 5 in the morning for work. And we start church and Bible study at 9:45. I don't know what it is. And we ain't going to push it back neither. Look at 1 Kings 19:19 actually. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto them, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh, the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elisha sacrificed his past for his future. That's what he did. He was plowing. And that's exactly what he sacrificed when he left. He took the yoke, he broke it, he made wood and fire. He took the oxen, he slayed it, he put it upon it. He took his work. And he sacrificed it for his new life. How much more? He did that for it to follow another prophet. How much more to follow the Son of the Living God should we sacrifice in order to walk behind him respectfully and honorably? Let us receive grace whereby we may serve him acceptable with reverence and godly fear. How much more should we give and devote unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How much more should we sacrifice for the one who died upon the cross for our sins? How much more can we give? Are we not willing to? And then why? Why? What's worth holding on to? So how come? The battle is true. The battle is real. The flesh and the spirit, they're contrary one to the other. I know for a fact. I grow weary reading the Word of God sometimes. But at the same time, it brings me such joy. You know, the enemy, he loves for me to... He loves to just, you know, instead of, you know, read 2 or 3 scriptures and just take a nap. Because usually when I get up, I feel refreshed. I don't want to read the Word. I'm going to go, you know, accomplish any task that I got. But how important are those tasks above my Father and my fellowship with Him? My Lord and my understanding of Him? Growing in this knowledge, growing in this understanding, being able to be effective witnesses, being able to be effective lights, because He has lit a candle in each and every one of us. There's a candle burning inside all of us. And that's the Spirit of the Lord. But how brightly can it shine if we don't know? We don't know what's expected of us. We don't know what His will is. We can determine between usually good and evil based on our worldly understanding of good and evil based on a conscience. But how many can determine good from evil based on the scriptures and the Word of God? How many can quote the Word of God when they see evil and understand it wrong? How many of us know or desire to have the ability to do that? A lot of us are content. Is that not okay? Just to come and be content? I got saved. I'm good. I'm content. Is that good? You have to ask yourself that question. Look at the people who got saved according to the scriptures. Our examples are not man. Our examples are the Word of God. Man should be an example. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We should lead a good example. But again, revert back. At the end of the day, we revert back to the scripture for our example, for our learning. These things were written for our learning, for our example. That we might not walk after the same errors of those in the past. That we might do that which is acceptable and pleasing in God's sight according to our Lord. What did they do? How did the commitment reflect in their lives? And then when Paul had speak about some of them in his epistles unto maybe Timothy or one of the others, how did he talk when he talked about somebody who had walked away from the faith? Or somebody that wasn't decided that they loved this present world more than they loved the Lord. It wasn't positive. It wasn't good. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, Paul is encouraging Timothy, because Timothy, like all of us, could get discouraged. Timothy, like all of us, could get sidetracked. Timothy, like all of us, could allow certain things to enter in, potentially. And so Paul felt it necessary to encourage them, like I'm encouraging you. He said, thou therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look at this. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Who is that? Who are the others? Who's willing to be the others? Who's willing to be the others? That they can receive and be counted faithful by God to be committed unto the ministry for His purpose. And he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Likens them unto... What example do we have when all of the armor of God is placed upon the head, the breast, the loins girt about, the feet shod, and there's nothing on his back because he's always pressing forward? What better example of rolling forward, of committing to it and rolling forward it, going forward? There's no room for turning around. There's no room for backpedaling. Think about those that did. There's plenty of good examples in the scriptures. It's where we get the life and the interpretation. Lot's wife. She came out with Lot, but she turned back. Many of the children of Israel, they all came out of Egypt. But not all of them made it into the promised land. Why? Because of their doubt and unbelief. They received a call, though. They came out. They were all baptized under the same word, under the same cloud. They were all baptized unto Moses, under the same cloud, and in the sea. But not all of them made it. Doubt, unbelief. Word of God preached unto them, but the tares were growing up with them and choked the word and made it unfruitful. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, things like that. The other things are more important. They're just more important. That's what it is. It's not that they just came in and overtook. We put an importance on them. So we give them the power that they have. It's just like Satan. Does Satan have any power over you at all? Not if God is for you. We give him power when we yield unto him. Adam and Eve gave Satan the power when they yielded unto him. And received his influence and received his counsel. Eat of it. It'll make you wise. Think about the examples. He says in verse 4, chapter 2, 2 Timothy verse 4, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That means he's walked away from entertaining himself in this world with just the pleasures of this life. Because they're temporal. They're not eternal. It'll burn up. All the works that are not in Christ Jesus is going to burn up. You can take pleasure in it. You can enjoy it. I'm not even going to say you're going to lose your soul just because of it. But it'll burn up. It's not going to hold any value. How do we know that, though? Unless we know what the Word of God says about it. When we read the Word of God builds us up and encourages us, it edifies us, it teaches us of that which is right from wrong. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As Pastor said this week, it doesn't only show you where you're standing, but it also shows you where you're supposed to go. A lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. The Word of God is. Not Chris, not Grandma Curly, not Doug. Although, hopefully, we would be doing that by the Word of God. But at the end of the day, we have to answer to the Word of God. I can give you all the counsel that I want, but you should rely on the Word of God for counsel. You should rely on the Word of God for wisdom. You should rely on the Word of God for instruction, that you may be thoroughly furnished, a workman unto every good work. No man that worth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath come to be a soldier. I was thinking about some of the things that Jesus said. And I think it's Luke. Give me 1 second. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Hope you don't mind bouncing back and forth in the Word. See, He doesn't just want us to receive the salvation experience. He wants us to receive salvation in our life. Salvation, that deliverance. That salvation, that healing. That salvation that's progressive, it's continual, it's ongoing. He wants us to continue to walk in the grace. He wants us to receive, and he wants us to feed off of that, and he wants us to press forward. I gave an example before, and I got it from another minister here on the radio. But he said, you're like a cell phone. And you think about your battery, it's only going to last so long until you plug in again. It's true. If you don't plug it in, and you don't constantly get renewed and refreshed, and if you don't plug into the water source, then you dehydrate. And if you dehydrate as a man of God or woman of God, you can be effective in the things of God. Because as Pastor said, it takes the anointing and it takes the Spirit of God to do the things that we have to do in this world. This is all of God. This is all part of this gospel. We don't take the gospel and only take the parts that we want. We have to take the full gospel. We can't just take the tithing part out. Or we can't just take the gifts part out. Or we can't just take the blood part out. We need the whole gospel. We need all of it. And we need it in balance. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 57, he says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." I'll follow thee wherever you go, Lord. And Jesus said, "And foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." I don't know where I'm going tomorrow. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. If you want to follow me, you got to be prepared for that. I don't have a place to lay my head. It's not like you. It's not like you where you got a mortgage and just going home at the end of the day. Jesus went from one city to the next city to the next city. How did he do that? God provided for him. The Father provided for him. Because the gospel wasn't unto one city. It was to all the cities. It was to all of them. God provided for them. Maybe it was through one of those acts that he committed when he told Peter, throw his net over the side, consumed all those fish. They probably sold them, had plenty of money in the store after that. Yeah, they could stay here, stay there. Fair weather, they could sleep outside. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. This place isn't accepting of us. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. It's not a place where I'm getting too comfortable anyway. In due time, I'm going to have to give my life for the sins of the world. Are you sure you're prepared to follow me? And then to the next man he said, and he said unto another, follow me. Jesus told him, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What was important? What was important? Not tending to the dead, but tending to the living. Preaching the gospel. How can we preach the gospel? How can they preach except they be sent? How could they be sent if they're not spending any time in the Word to be filled? And then he said to another, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but preach the kingdom of God. In 61 he said, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. You know, the commit, I didn't understand it at first when it said to roll on. I didn't understand it. But then after, you know, spending time with the Lord and helping me understand that commit that way. And when it says that, interesting enough, in Psalm 37, when he said, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, which is continuation. And he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring what to pass? His word. All of it. But we have to commit our way unto him. We have to allow him to be Lord. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Jesus said that. That was a statement he made. And that he will make to people who come before his throne Haven't you preached in our presence? Haven't you done great and mighty works in our cities? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And what is God trying to tell us? What are we placing the priority and importance on? What can and can't we do? What do we not want to do just because it's an inconvenience to us, especially in regards to church? Church is an inconvenience to people anymore. That's not good. What does that say about your heart, about our hearts, when church isn't a convenient, when it's inconvenient? I don't got time. It's killing my time. What time? Is that the kind of answer you're going to give to God? Church, it was killing my time. If you're not spending it at home in your Bible. Maybe you are. Maybe that doesn't apply to you. I hope you are, especially if you don't got time to come to church. I definitely hope that you are. But let me tell you another thing. If you are, it'll show. Because the Word always shows. That's why I'm able to stand here today. The Word of God shows. He has changed my life. The Word has changed my life. He has made me an able minister for this gospel. He has done this. I'm not doing this on my own, and I don't ever intend to do it on my own. He has made me an able minister of His gospel. He wants to make all of us able to be ministers of His gospel. Maybe in different calibers and in different places, but all of us as ministers, serving one and another in the same unity of the same Spirit, of the same God, and of the same Lord, because there's only one. That's the encouragement. Now, can I sacrifice? The Lord would put it on my heart. Do I sacrifice enough time? The Lord would make me answer that question before I would ask you that question. Do you sacrifice your time? Was your time that valuable? Eternity is that valuable. Eternity is that valuable. What you do for God now, what's going to judge us in that day? The Word. We'll stand before God and give account based on His Word. But what do we know about His Word? And how comfortable do you feel in your spirit right now about what you know about God's Word? And I'm not talking about, I know there's 66 books in the Bible, and I know that some people interpret Bible basic instructions before leaving earth. I'm talking about what you know about the Word of God. Can you, if Christ is asking you questions, if Christ Himself was asking you questions, which I believe this morning He is, if He was asking you questions, could you answer them based on your knowledge of the Scriptures, of who and what you are in the Lord, why you are what you are, based on the Scriptures, not just based on what you've heard or what you've been told, but based on the Scriptures? Because we have it. It's right here for us. And He's given us, each and every person, unless you have some sort of learning disability or unless you have some sort of mental challenge that God knows that you have, you have the ability to sit down and read His Word. You have the ability to learn for yourself. You have the ability to grow. And if for some reason, the apostles chose to not do what men and brethren are choosing not to do today, the gospel may not have gotten as far as it got. Christ might have had to come back sooner. He'll always find an avenue. Thank God for Him. He always finds an avenue. Jesus Christ is, you know, makes a way out of no way. When you think about Elijah was like, I alone am of you. He said, I have 7,000 reserved unto myself that have not bowed the knee unto Baal. Did He reserve them as to say that He made them the way that they were? Or were they committed unto Him and chose not to bow the knee to Baal? They chose not to bow the knee to Baal. It was their willing sacrifice that they would stand outside of what everybody else was doing in order that they might be pleasing in God's sight. Well, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to tell you that we have to do the same thing. If we're going to be pleasing in God's sight, we have to make the sacrifices too. We have to do that which is pleasing in sight. Because Christ came, He came to save the sinner. He came to heal the sick. And it was our way of thinking that was sick just as well as our sin. So we have to be renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing. So my encouragement to you, I believe that many of you want to see Victory Gospel Church progress. And I believe that let's say the church in its entirety. I speak to Victory Gospel Church because we're all Victory Gospel Church members in here. I don't see anybody that's not acquainted with this church. I speak to members here. We want to see it progress. We want to see it move forward. We want to see it be effective. We'll all participate. And not just in what we want to do. There might be some things that I don't really want to do, but you know what? I'll sacrifice just to see it better if I can contribute to it. I'll give a little bit more time, a little bit more effort. If nobody else is going to take out the trash, I'll take out the trash. I don't care. I'll take it out. It's not that much of a burden to me. I take the trash out of my house. I sure should be able to take the trash out of church. Considering that I want to look out for the well-being of this place. I didn't know nothing about church financing. Took on the responsibility of church finances. And well, you know, in certain respects, God has showed me a lot. And he's done a lot of work in and through me. Praise God for that. I was counted to be faithful in that responsibility. I had to take it and run with it. Okay, God, how are we going to do this? How you? Because you got to make it happen. Where it is, make it happen. Show me what I got to do. Sacrificed a lot of time communicating with people, putting off things in order to go talk with other people, and to get people together in order to accomplish other tasks. Had to burden other people with responsibilities. They might not have wanted them either. But it's all part of the church. It would be that it would be all so easy that we could just throw the whole burden on pastors back and let them just walk us through. But it ain't. It's not God's intention neither. He wants to mold each and every one of us. He wants to shape each and every one of us into these vessels of honor, fit for the master's use and for the master's kingdom. And he'll do it through us sacrificing and laying down our lives that he might be Lord. No longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Yeah, it's a progression. Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. Yeah, it seems overwhelming. That's why he says I can do all things through Christ. It is overwhelming. Hey, look at this Bible. That's overwhelming to me. My daughter brought home a book that was like twice this. She reads books like, and I have a hard enough time just reading this one. And I'm like, yeah, it is overwhelming when I look at it in that context. But when I look at it through my God, I know it's possible. And I want to see God do great and mighty things through each and every person in this room. And I would encourage you, come to Bible study. Join us for Bible study. Make this a day of reflection. Make this a day that you give to the Lord. Make this a day. In some ways, you can see why the seventh day Adventists still keep the Sabbath. You can see a benefit to that. Even though I know they do it religiously, erroneously, it doesn't matter. Them keeping the Sabbath can be honorable because they're willing to sacrifice the day unto the Lord, just to the Lord. They're not devoted unto making sure that they're pleased and doing everything that they would do normally through the week. They just give it to the Lord. They read. They fellowship in church. They spend their time in church. That was what the Sabbath was created for. The Sabbath was created for us to rest in the Lord. So we can come here. You can rest in the Lord and study the Scriptures. You can praise and worship Him right here from the pews. You can hear the Word of God some more. You can go from this place. You can reflect on the Word of God. And not just be thinking about what's following church. What are we doing after church? I would hope it has still something to do with church. Whether it be meditating on the Word, whether it be fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. You know, take one of your brothers and sisters out to eat if you're going to go out to eat. And continue your fellowship. Or, you know, just go to somebody's house. Or, you know, do something that still... Or go home and minister to those that didn't want to go to church. Or whatsoever it might be, but... Just spend more time in the Lord so that He can spend more time doing what He needs to do inside of us so that we can be the people that He wants us to be. I want to please God. I believe most of you in this room want to please God. Everything He's done for us, all that's been accomplished on our behalf, the power of the Almighty God. We want the power of the Almighty God. We want Him to bring to pass every word that He has spoken, all His promises. But we don't want to commit. We don't want to commit to them. Victory Gospel Church, I believe in that. I believe there is victory in the gospel and the church through Jesus Christ. I believe in that. We should all believe that. And find a way to contribute more of your time to the Lord. I'm just saying serving around here. I'm far from speaking about serving today. I'm talking about spending more time in His Word of utmost importance. The Word of God. Commend you unto the Word of His grace. Able to build you up and give you inheritance amongst the saints. The word of His grace. that'll build us up, that'll edify us, that'll encourage us, that'll instruct us, that'll teach us, that'll guide us, that'll comfort us. All of these things through the Holy Ghost. By Jesus Christ. Amen? So I encourage you, and I pray that you be encouraged. I know it wasn't I'm not even going to get into that. You make it what it is. You've all heard. Make it what it is to you. But reflect on it. Don't let it go. So quickly, we step out of church and whoop, that word leaves. And we anticipate the next word. But we have to deal with this word. We have to deal with this word right here has to deal with us. So that we can move forward and the next word can deal with us. And maybe the next word doesn't have to deal with us because we're already there. But that's even that much better. But at least we move forward from the last place. And we're continually progressing. Growing grace, growing in the knowledge of our God, growing in the accountability, growing in the acceptance, growing in all of these things that are pleasing in God's sight. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we give you thanks and we give you honor and we give you praise. God, you're a mighty God. And God, we know all of these things, Father, based on your word. Your word is true, God. And help us understand how to abide in that truth, God. You have requested that we abide in this truth. You have requested we continue in your word. You have requested these things of us. And God, we pray your counsel and we pray your understanding and how to discipline ourselves better. I pray, Father God, that the word sink down deep into the hearts of every individual in this room. I pray, Father God, that each and every person, Father God, that have heard through the ring of the ears, that their ears and their eyes of understanding would be open to receive it. And not just to have heard it, but to receive it and allow it to bear root and bear fruit in a season. God, you're a mighty God and you've done such great work when you sent Christ to the cross on our behalf. We're so undeserving of the mercy and so undeserving of the grace, but God, that's why it is grace. And we thank you for it, Father God. And God, in order to reflect, in order to show our gratitude, God, may we serve you more diligently, more acceptably. May you have you, Father God. May we give you the preeminence. May we not just call you Savior and Lord, but mean it when we call you Savior and Lord and allow you to lead and not only save. God, we thank you and we give you the praise. I thank you for the opportunity to be here and minister your word. I thank you for everybody that's here. I thank you for the time that they have sacrificed to be here this day, Father. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us could sacrifice a little bit more, but that you could show us how and in what areas, God, that we may be overdoing it or that we might be pursuing too strongly that are of this life and of this natural. We seek for the eternal, God. We press forward to the mark of the high calling in Jesus. Hallelujah. Salvation and all of it. That is entailed with it. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. I pray that you would have your way, Father, always in each and every opportunity when we gather in your name, in Jesus Christ's name. Of course, I don't want to stop and not give anybody the opportunity. If you have prayer requests, if you have things that you want the elders of the church to pray for you, our God is he's a full God. He can do it all. He can save, he can heal, he can deliver. If you're bound by circumstances, he can set free. That's why Christ came, to set free the captives. I know he set me free, and he's still setting me free. Praise the Lord. And my freedom is a rejoicing place to be. And if you're not free, then I recommend that you come and we pray, and you let the Lord set you free. Or if you need healing, and if you're going through troubles and going through woes, that's fine if you go to the doctor, but come to the chief. Come to the chief physician who made you. And was able to deliver you of that illness also. We thank God always for everything that he does for us here at Victory Gospel Church. This place has come a long way. Obviously, we believe, I believe with all my heart, I know Pastor believes there's a vision, that there's a lot yet to come. God molding us and he's shaping us. These very words will mold us and shape us. God's word will mold us and shape us. So that we can be the church and we can be the people that reflects and represents his name. And we'll rejoice one day as the song we were singing. We'll rejoice in that visitation. When the Lord comes back, we're confident. We'll be sound. We'll be strong in faith. We'll be anticipating his coming. Not just looking up, but occupying until he comes. Working. Progression. Dealing with the souls of men. Shining the light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If nobody needs anything, praise God. I'm glad for that. For the first coming.